Recent polling has found former President Donald Trump in the high teens or even low 20s among black voters. That's still well behind Biden, but also well ahead of where he polled in 2020. Spells a problem for the current president, which is why he's hitting the campaign trail and making these high-profile appearances, speaking at Morehouse College and then later during remarks at the NAACP dinner later on Sunday night. Let's bring in Dave Duleo, professor of political science and director of the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University. And Dave, good morning to you.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Do you think with these speeches, at least, President Biden is making inroads?
Well, time will tell on that, and I think we have to take a look at the polling that that you referenced in the next weeks and months to know if that is having any real impact. My gut says not really, for two reasons. Number one, very few people are paying attention to politics right now. They're concerned about the start of summer and kids are finishing school and they're just not paying attention. Number two, this is such a strange election cycle for many reasons, but one at probably at the top of the list is that the opinions about both candidates are so baked in at this point. I really wonder how much movement there is in the electorate in really any corner of the electorate.
Professor, how reliable do you think these early polls are in predicting the actual voter turnout and support in November, especially among the black voters in the Democratic demographics?
So that's a great question, Lloyd. The what we know from years of study is that the further out from Election Day, the less reliable the polling numbers are. So my advice to your listeners is take every poll number you see at this point in time, and really over the next couple of months, take it with a grain of salt, and don't put I think that there's things you can learn, but I wouldn't bet the house on these results right now. When we get closer to Election Day, that's when the polls become a lot more reliable in terms of predicting outcomes.
How much of that will be determined by economic data and whether or not people feel like they're catching up to inflation? Because the one thing that is interesting in all of this is just the general apathy and indifference that we're detecting in the black community.
Oh, I think that's right, Guy. I think, look, again, opinions are baked in about Donald Trump and Joe Biden. I think people are going to make, when people vote, they make two decisions, right? Number one is whether or not to vote at all. And then who do I vote for? So I think that first question is really going to be an important one. Again, because opinions are baked in. Number two, we have, let's try to be kind here on a Monday morning, two, in many ways, uninspiring candidates that a big portion of the country doesn't want to see run, right? So for me, that could lead to pretty low turnout, right? Why vote when, you know, you don't really like either choice? And I think that could have a real big impact on the outcome.
Professor, I've been thinking about this for a couple weeks. When people say the black vote or the Latino vote or the women vote, I mean, aren't people individuals? Aren't there women within the black vote who may feel differently than the men in this block? So is that kind of an antiquated way of looking at it?
Well, I think we have to be careful when we talk about any sort of community and painting with such a broad brush. Now, African-American voters over the years have really supported Democrats in large numbers, but I think that the polling numbers that we're seeing demonstrate that they're willing to give other candidates a chance, and not you know, huge swaths, but you know, like you said, 15-20%. That's a huge difference over the last couple of cycles in terms of how much, say, Donald Trump would earn in that slice of the electorate. So I think that, you know, here's the most important point. You know, in a state like Michigan, where it's going to be really close, you know, even small changes mm-hmm. to how people vote in whatever community could have a huge difference in outcome.
Professor, you know, we have these claims of increased black support for the former president, but participation in Republican primaries among black voters remains low. So how do you reconcile that discrepancy, and what does that suggest about the actual level of support that Trump may have among black voters in the general?
Sure. I think that we're talking about it's really an apples and oranges comparison, primary elections and general elections. You know, the primary turnout is low to begin with. You know, the choice comparison, you know, this last time around, if it was Donald Trump and Nikki Haley, mm-hmm. you know, not a huge nothing really inspiring there to maybe drive African-American voters to the polls in a Republican primary. Plus, maybe they had a desire to participate in the Democratic primary. So you can't do both.
Right.
And but then in the general, right, then it's turnout is up compared to primaries. But also it becomes a starker choice. Right. Well, OK, I want to vote in this presidential election. I want to have my voice heard. Am I voting for Biden and four more years of what we just had, or am I going to, you know, try Trump again?
Yeah, I want to just play a quick cut here. Yesterday, you know, when he didn't come with anything hard, no enterprise zones, things like that, there didn't seem to be anything. There were no deliverables when he came yesterday, but he did make some pretty predictable promises.
Really come on me and the Democratic Congress, and we will help the NAACP. We will sign the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, the Freedom to Vote Act, and make Roe v. Wade the law of the land again.
So we know that the John Lewis Act isn't going to get a vote in the Senate unless there's quite the sea change. At what point does this just become noise and pandering?
Well, I think that, guy, having watched politics for a long time, this is not the first time that a candidate has made a promise that he can't deliver on, right? and it happens all the time, right? We'll do this, we'll do that. Well, there are other factors that will go into whether or not certain policy alternatives are adopted. I think it's just pretty standard stump speech, try to drive some enthusiasm, maybe where there isn't enough for the Biden administration at this point, and just trying to rile up the base a bit.
All right. Dave DiDulio, professor of political science and director at the Center for Civic Engagement at Oakland University. You know, a long path ahead for these candidates. I'm sure we'll be checking back in with you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. All right. Coming up, Iranian president has died in a helicopter crash. What does that mean for the rest of the world? All eyes on Iran. We'll check in with Fox News at 6:49.
Time now for Eye on Engineering, brought to you by Tejan Automotive Technologies, the formula for better mobility.
At its Realize Live technology conference in Las Vegas, engineering software giant Siemens showed a great example of using existing data in a new way to meet business goals. Called Geolus, the software allows an engineering or purchasing agent to search for any pre-existing parts that are similar to a current need. That has two primary benefits. One, it can reduce the time and effort spent designing the same part twice. Two, it can drastically lower a program's material cost because the data can be used to renegotiate costs based on already existing similar parts. All parts can be described in three dimensions, but there are dozens of file formats out there. Geolus operators take existing data and translate everything into Siemens' own JT format. The early results are impressive. Siemens says more than $1 million was saved on 75 parts in the first 10 groups to start using Geolus. For SAE International, I'm Chris Klontz, and that's an Eye on Engineering.